Earlier this year, the RNIB Creative Making Workshop exhibition was held on the 30th of May. The exhibition was entitled Contact. What was it all about and how did it go? The creative workshops are the brainchild of Natanya Mark, and she joins me now. Hi, Natanya.
Hi, Simon. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. Before we talk about the exhibition, just give us a bit of background into the creative making workshops and what their aim is.
Yeah, sure. I started the workshops in 2016, and when I started them, I had no idea that I was still going to be doing them 3 years later. But yeah, so I was studying visual communication at the Royal College of Art at the time, and I just felt really let down by the privileging of sight and kind of the lack of human contact in the work that I was doing and in the work that I felt that my peers were doing on the course. And so I reached out to RNIB to see about trying to experience creativity without this privileging of sight and having a more tactile relationship with people and art making. And I wanted to sit in on some workshops, but I found out that there weren't actually any on offer at RNIB. And so I was a bit nervous, but I kind of started running some workshops there myself. And I just found it amazing. I had five people who I started working with in 2016, and there's three of them that I still work with today. And it's just been a kind of journey of exploring different materials and different themes over the past few years.
Now, you've done, basically, it's different art forms, really, isn't it? So you've done some crossover. Give us an example of a couple of the crossover workshops that you've done.
So this year, all the workshops that I've been doing were focused on different themes. And one example of these themes was imprint. And so during the imprint workshop, I brought some casting materials into the class, and everyone dipped their hands in alginate. And Ricky, who was there, who loved playing guitar, wanted to dip his hand in with holding his guitar pick. So he did that. And Lizzie had all these rings on that she kind of dipped her hand in that meant a lot to her. And so we took casts of their hands, which feels really weird because you have to pour it in when the material's really warm. And so your hands are just in this like warm, gloopy thing. So it was just amazing listening to Ricky being like, what's going on? But yeah, there's always quite a lot of trust in the process. So we did that, and then you take your hands out, and then we poured the plaster in to cast them, and we let them set. And then the following week, I brought them out again, and just unpicking the blue alginate from the plaster. So everyone had cast models of their hands in these kinds of different positions. And then we often bring words into it as well, so we use that to spark a kind of poetry writing exercise to do with the feelings and to do with the experience that we felt of like making this cast form of our own body.
So does it kind of create an environment where one thing stimulates creativity and perhaps it leads on to something completely different?
Yeah, exactly. So the idea behind it is that I always come up with this theme, and then we have a game at the start of the workshop where we just very basically respond to the word. So let's say the word was imprint, we'd go around and we'd each respond to a word that the previous person had said, just to try and get into the flow of making without judgment, because that's mainly what it's about, really. And then we play around with the materials, but we don't try and make anything specifically, we just try and respond to one of those words. And then once we've got a bit more of a grip of it, then we do the actual exercise for that specific workshop. And then we try to respond to that by a bit of like a summary kind of writing or thinking. People don't always have to share what they've written or what they've thought about, but it's kind of an idea of like reflecting on how you've come into contact with that material and how what challenges you found or what you've liked about it. It's quite a kind of therapeutic process.
This leads us on to the exhibition then this year on it was only the end of May there. What happened on the day?
So on the day, there were four workshop participants that I've been working with this year. And each person was presenting the outcomes from the workshops over the past, well, the workshops were from October until February. So each person had a table and it was set up in Senga Cafe. And the tables were arranged in a sort of fan shape. And then each person's work was on their designated station. And whatever had chimed with them most from the workshops was what they brought in as their kind of finished product. So Leonie had a lot of weaving that she had been doing. And Ricky had made this fantastic duck out of clay that was at his station. And Lizzie was making lots of work to do with this prayer tree that was in her garden at home. And she had prayer tree scrolls, which she got people to write on. And then after the exhibition, she went home and she tied them into her tree. And it's kind of this organic paper where you write a prayer or a message or a thought onto it. And then it's quite a spiritual process where you go and you tie it onto a branch in a tree. And she actually invited me a few weeks before the exhibition to come and to make a film of her prayer tree and of all the different messages that we'd put on beforehand. And then, yeah, Leslie had, unfortunately, that she couldn't bring any work with because she'd broken her foot. But we had audio of her stories that she'd been writing that was on her table. So it was everyone's work displayed that everyone could take a look at, all the people who came to the exhibition could take a look at. But as well as that, we had performances. And this made up the first part of the exhibition. Everyone had about 5 minutes to stand up and either do a musical performance or to perform some of the poetry that they'd come up with during the workshop session.
So do the participants, that they have varying levels of eyesight then?
Yeah, exactly. So Ricky, he has a guide dog called Acorn and he has no sight. I actually asked him, we were talking about sight loss once, and he said to me that if he could have his sight back, he'd choose not to because he felt so kind of positive about the way he inhabits the world now, which was quite amazing.
Yeah, I've heard that. When we come from a sighted point of view, that sounds hard to hard to grasp. But I suppose, has he always been without sight then?
No.
Right?
I think it was since his early 20s.
Okay. And I take it he hasn't done any modelling before then with clay or stuff?
No, so he's a musician and his background is actually in modern languages as well. So he's very creative, very gifted. And one of the things that really connected with him, which is what he showcased in the exhibition, was working with clay. And he had this memory of a pet duck called Fleur that he used to play with his family when he was younger in the garden. And he used to throw Fleur up and she used to kind of flap down and he used to catch her. And I think his work was a bit of a kind of confessional piece about Fleur because he felt quite bad about this. But he spent a long time crafting this duck. And then for the exhibition, we also had various audio pieces at each person's station. And he has this amazing piece that we recorded where he's talking about Fleur while holding her and describing all the bits of the clay while he's making her and thinking about which bits he really enjoyed making and how they connected to his memories of Fleur. So what her beak looked like, what her wings looked like, how she felt to hold. So it's really amazing how making things can stimulate that kind of memory recall that you can't really access in any other way apart from sculpture, I guess.
Yeah, and you're taking something which is a memory, which is a visual memory that he has of that and translating it into something else that a different medium, a different kind of platform. Yeah, it's quite incredible.
Exactly, yeah. Just going to say that it was amazing how people came, and when the audience members came to Ricky's station, they were holding Fleur and listening to the story. And you could see on people's faces how powerful it was to have him describing his memories of Fleur while they were able to hold his kind of incarnation of her at the same time.
So what kind of feedback have you had from Ricky and the rest of the crew?
It was amazing to hear the feedback, really. Ricky was telling me that the workshop, for him, he's always been into music, but for him they simulated a way of writing songs because he's always really just been jamming on the guitar but hasn't been able to write any lyrics to his works. And he felt like he was really bad at it. But actually, for the workshop exhibition, he had recorded a poem of himself called Railway Arch, reading his poem called Railway Arch. And then he'd also written a song with lyrics, as well as playing on the guitar called I'm Floating. And so all of a sudden, he had this like really strong, powerful voice that he could put to his work that he'd never thought he was capable of before. And he said, he's written as well to me, as for modelling clay, the most I've ever made before was noses. But this stuff's amazing. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to create stuff in new ways, which was great.
Yeah, it must be very rewarding for you. You're not visually impaired, are you?
No, I'm not.
So do you get a real impact from this then, what it actually does for people?
Well, what I really find amazing is the kind of openness and lack of judgment that people have in the workshop spaces, where everyone's just happy to be there and try to create and try something out. And also the platform for sharing that it creates as well, where people, because in my practice generally, what I'm interested in is how making things and having your hands occupied creates the kind of bond when you're making stuff together, and then you end up chatting about things that you wouldn't ever really have considered talking about if you weren't stuck into some kind of activity. And I think the same is true for in the workshop at RNIB. We always get onto such amazing topics that we never really could have planned that we were going to talk about just because our hands are stuck into some alginate.
It's very interesting. What are the plans for are you going to do some more workshops?
Yeah, so I'm going to be doing some more workshops starting in October at RNIB. And I'm also looking to try and kind of consolidate some of the work that we've been doing this year. I really want to share it with a bit of a wider audience, because I think the magic of what goes on in these sessions is so powerful. And one of the things that I've been doing is I've been working with a graphic designer called Oscar War, and he helped me to create a Braille map for the exhibition. He kind of came up with this concept where we created a map, but it didn't use traditional Braille characters. We just used the Braille machine. And we had different lines leading to each person's table on the Braille map. So because a lot of Leonie's work was about her dog called Classy Boy, we had a symbol of paw prints on the Braille machine leading to her map. And so I'm really interested in how we can use, because Braille's kind of a bit of a dying art form in that not that many people can read it anymore. But what I'm interested in is using these mechanisms that we have to try and create patterns that can be appreciated by people who have visual impairments and people who have sight, a kind of shared language, maybe using patterns. And so I want to combine this with the poetry from that we've been making over the past 2 years and create a publication so that it can translate for both audiences at the same time, which is something that that isn't really happening at the moment. Either you get your kind of formatted book in whatever format you like, or there's the kind of standard book. And I want to try and bring those together in a bigger way.
Well, I tell you what, it sounds like an ambitious project, but it also sounds very worthwhile, Natanya, and it sounds great, the feedback that you've had from the workshops. So how can we get more information on it then?
Currently, I'm not sure what information there is, but you can get in touch with Tricia Smirkle at RNIB, who will have all the updates about the workshop. And I'm looking to send something out probably in the next month, with a bit more information once we've sorted out timings and location.
Now, if we get that information to the helpline, then people can phone the helpline and get
the
information. And that number is 0303 123 9999. Natanya, Mark, thank you so much for telling us about the exhibitions, and we'll look forward to catching up with you later to see what your next project's going to be.
Thank you. That sounds great. Thank you, Simon.